Welcome to The Get Together, a podcast for the live digital community.
All over the world, there are people thinking about and creating the future of live digital events and performances.
They are disparate innovators who are artists, tech founders, nonprofits, and investors, and they need a place to gather and share ideas.
That's what The Get Together is all about.
I'm Joe, a tech and media startup vet with over 10 years of experience growing and operating businesses.
And I'm Jess, a theater creator who loves bringing people together around technology, art, and the internet.
And hey, we want to welcome you. Thanks for getting together with us. Let's dig in. All at the same time. One, two, three, scream.
Okay, it's me. Hi. Woo.
Okay. You get to start that episode that way.
Oh, no. Okay, well, that's all going in the bin.
In the bin.
I don't like having someone on who's in charge of the editing when they're a guest, too.
I know. That feels like that shouldn't be allowed.
Let's just jump right into this today. We can't waste time catching up with each other, Joe, when Lucy's sitting right in the center, smack in the center of us.
We've got no time.
No time, because Lucy's leaving us.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye. I also, just in case
there's
listening,
a lot of saluting happening. Like, I was like, is this like a song I should know? Like, is Uncle Sam going to pop out? Like, what is happening? Lucy's off to war, everyone.
Yeah. I'm going overseas.
Oh. Good luck in Ukraine.
Oh, oh no. God.
Too real? Okay. Clearly neither
a little
of you have been
too recent.
Reading the internet today, which is mostly jokes of World War III.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Lucy. You're leaving us. Tell us about it.
Yes. Tell us all about it in your words.
All the reasons. No. Well, I guess I've been working with you guys for almost exactly a year now.
Holy shit.
Yeah, which is wild. And we have, I think this will be like 45 podcast episodes.
Wow.
But
the math checks out.
Yeah, I've been wanting to come to New York for almost 3 years now, ever since I graduated into the abyss. it's what it felt like it happened. Before graduation, I had a really amazing internship at CBS Sunday Morning, and I've been trying to convince them to hire me ever since, and they finally caved.
So the moral of the story is just pester. You didn't. I'm just saying that for comic effect.
No, I did. And oh, okay. It's actually effective to anybody out there looking for a job. You just kind of have to be really persistent. It works.
I love that. I will say, like, you know, you so thoughtfully put in our scripts for this podcast when Joe and I catch up at the beginning of an episode to talk about, like, you know, maybe what we're stuck on this week. And man, if y'all are listening and you have your own, you know, businesses that are new, I'm very excited for you. It's also like super frustrating to not be able to hire people that you want to hire full time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so glad you're going to CBS Sunday Morning. It's amazing. What a fucking crazy opportunity. And you're going to be such a, but like, you know, it's like, God damn it.
Jess only speaks for herself on that one. I've been really excited for Lucy to leave.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. You know, you haven't hit that very well.
I literally slacked Lucy. I was like, so when are we going to see Wicked?
Yeah, we really dropped the ball on that. But now that I'm here, mm-hmm. we have to go.
No, and we're going to miss you a ton. And it is so sad to not be working with you as closely anymore. But it's so exciting that you're going to go work for CBS Sunday Morning.
Yeah, I am very excited. It feels a little bit like... Yeah, I was, it's just, I feel, this is so stupid. I'm just imagining him listening to myself back talking, but yeah, it feels like a very big step, like something I'm going to look back on many, many years from now and be like, oh, that was a turning point. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting to be in that right now, like knowing it's big.
On that note, let us ask you a bunch of questions about it.
First question. Who's going to play you in the movie version of your life?
Ooh. That's a great... I don't feel like I should answer that. I feel like you should. You guys should.
Marion... What's her name? The French actress? Marion Cotillard? Is that her name?
Oh.
I'm getting this really wrong.
But...
Ooh, that's like older Lucy?
Yeah.
Like established and powerful and business Lucy?
Yeah.
business, Lucy. I can't wait to meet her. She's yet to make an appearance.
Well, we coerced Lucy earlier this morning to join the podcast as a guest today. Sideswiped you. I don't know. Whatever word is the appropriate word. Because we thought, as Lucy said, you've been with us for a full year as a content producer, as a podcast producer, as a social media content creator. And probably most importantly of all, as someone that I don't think was thinking about live digital before you came to work for us too much.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever encountered that term or would have really known what that meant.
Yeah, and so we just wanted to like chat with you about it today. So thanks to agreeing to this.
Yeah.
So will you tell everybody, because I don't think we've actually done this on the podcast, a little bit about what you were doing before we were introduced and sort of your background?
Yeah. Okay, so I guess my background is that I was like an actor in high school, loved theater, like that was my thing. I went to a very, very small high school, so it was also like you were in every show. So I absolutely loved doing that, went to college, obviously auditioned and did not get cast in anything.
Oh, no.
I don't think I knew that.
As a freshman. No, it was fine, but it was just... I was like, oh, okay, there are other avenues to be a part of theater. And my work study ended up being, or I remember I had to pick a work study and I had no interests besides theater. And so I just searched that in our little database. And the only thing that popped up was, okay, you can be a backstage technical assistant at our like on-campus theater. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'll do that. And it was a very interesting experience because I had never like touched the technical part of theater at all. I'd only been a performer and just was like aware that the lights were around me. So it's fun to have both perspectives. And yeah, I loved doing that. And I loved like my crew and ended up like managing a student crew there and like working very closely with the technical directors and like appreciating theater, I feel like a little bit more as like a fully formed like team project, which was what made me love it in the first place. So kind of based on that, I kind of just knew I wanted to work in that world. I just knew that I liked those people. And so that's what I was always pursuing. So I ended up majoring in film and media studies and just kind of hoping to do something that was related to production in film or theater, TV or podcasts, which was a surprise. And yeah, I was kind of just always like pursuing that sort of like creative collaboration in whatever form it found me in. Was that good? Is that a good summary?
Whatever, like, nope, fail, try again.
Take two.
Yeah, start over 5 minutes later.
Okay, and then so you interned at CBS Sunday Morning, right?
Yes. So then that was also my first real internship or job or anything that was like in entertainment. I also had to do a lot of convincing there to, yeah, convince people that theater skills, I feel like, are translatable to a TV set, which to me makes like so much sense. And I do feel like I'm constantly saying, no, this is what I can do. It's the same type of work. It's the same like groundwork for everything. And people would go, well, you're not studying journalism. I'm like, no, but I can tell stories and I can work with you. So I feel like that was the battle that I had also mostly internally. No one was like really, really saying that. It's all a little bit of imposter syndrome being like, I'm surrounded by journalism majors who want to be reporters or news producers. And I was just there because I wanted to be on set and like writing and working with people. So got to do that. And my assignment was with Sunday Morning, but more specifically, my assignment was with Mo Rocca's podcast, which was the biggest blessing ever because I got to work with a teeny tiny team and have like way more impact on what I was working on than the evening news interns that were just like printing papers and running back and forth. And I was like editing their script, which was huge to be doing that as an intern. So yeah, that was like an amazing experience that I'm so grateful for. And yeah, always knew I wanted to go back because I also think Sunday Morning has a unique culture within the like hard news world as well. It's not breaking news. It's a lot of human interest and also a lot of like arts and culture focus on their stories. So that's, I'm excited. So
cool. I'm definitely biased towards I guess towards you. I'm biased towards you, but I'm like, of course, like, you're like the best fucking hire they could possibly pick up. And like, especially you. Because of your background and your, like, your, you know, ear and nose for storytelling, as opposed to these journalism majors. What jerks.
What derision you would have just seen on Joe's face if you were here.
Think so often of the Planet Money podcast, you know, OG podcast, mm-hmm. and how often the hosts of Planet Money, like Stacey Vanek Smith or someone, are like, yeah, we don't really know economics things. We're good at telling stories. And it's like a podcast about economics. And they're like, yeah, we aren't economists. We don't actually know what they're talking about. I mean, they do, of course, but they're not economists. They're storytellers.
Yeah, it's nothing Google can't solve. Like, yeah. We were just talking about, what was it? MTurks. The Amazon MTurks. And none of us knew what it was. And we're all very smart humans who tell stories. And we were able to very quickly discern enough to understand
enough to have a sort of vague conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious what pieces of the work that I mean this, by the way, this is not leading. I have so little, I don't know if you feel like this, Joe, but I have so little understanding of how other people see the work that we do here at Broadway Unlocked and Altogether Now, and the skill sets that get utilized. I don't understand it because I've just been doing it my whole life. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I don't understand what people who are learning those skills or deploying them in a different way for the first time are sort of thinking about and processing. And so I'm curious, like, what pieces and parts of the work that you've done here across the last year you feel like you're going to take into this next job?
I mean, I think mostly about the Clubhouse stuff, just in the way that I approach things that I read, thinking, what's the application of that to new platforms? Who's this going to reach? Like, who should be interested in this that doesn't know about it? And that sort of, like, I feel like I've missed that kind of conversation outside of school. Also, you leave school and then there's not a lot of room for just pure intellectual conversation just for the sake of conversation. So I feel like I needed like a kickstart in thinking again, basically. And Clubhouse has been a really excellent way to do that. So I definitely feel like I've taken, that perspective of looking for topics. It was like a skill set that I don't think I realized I had, or maybe I just developed in doing that every week, that I think is just really useful for like being a human and interacting with other humans.
Lucy is killer at a dinner party. No, but not meaning to be dismissive, just funny.
No, yeah.
I do think it's like a skill, or like a superpower that you have. To find a kernel of something interesting and get people excited about talking about it, mm-hmm. even if they didn't realize that they knew something about it or had something to say about it, which I wanted to compliment in you as a producer and as a picker of topics and whatever other terms sound better than picker of topics.
Well, that's like the thing, right? You know how when you and I are talking about I don't know, the company newsletter, and I'm always like, make it personal. Like, whatever you're writing about in a bullet, tell us what you think about it. That's what you do in Clubhouse with topics like what Joe's talking about. And that's why people get excited, because you always bring us the headline, but you also, just by letting us into like what you think is interesting about it as a human, give us all of us who gather each week, a bunch of different ways to get invested in the topic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's so much easier to do on Clubhouse than it is in the newsletter. And I feel like that is a performance thing where I'm like, okay, well, you have to fill the space now. You have to have something to say. So,
And you can have like as many words as you want to say it versus like, oh, I can only fit like 16 words in this little text box.
Yeah. This little bullet point. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm trying to think too about, I feel like Paul Taylor was such a cool show to work on too, in terms of like my understanding of the company, because I had come on right after you had finished
the first one.
Yeah.
Paul Taylor 2020. Modern is now.
Yeah. And it felt very like this sort of mythical thing. Like,
really?
A little bit, because it was just like, oh my gosh, but like, what a huge, amazing company to get to work with. And I was like, whoa, that must have been cool. So then getting to like come all the way around and help with it a second time and work with Steph and JW, I also feel like was so illuminating, because they clearly have their own like little system and communication and are very aware of each other's strengths. So it was a wonderful learning lesson too, to just watch them communicate, which I feel like is also a skill set that's just like listening and observing and trying to pick up whatever you can from that. And also like anticipating needs when you don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, working with them is so much fun.
I feel so jealous. For those of you listening, if you don't know, Steph Cowan is one of our story producers, our head story producer. And she's also a producer of new musical work in the IRL space. And JW is our head and narrative editor. And I was listening to you talk about, I'm not kidding, I literally just got so jealous because like JW and I have been working together like before this was, these companies were real and making money. He and I have edited everything together. And like one of the things about leading a company is you have to step back from all this stuff. And delegate. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know. I want to know how they work.
I had a similar feeling because I was just like, I've heard a few times of the way that like, Jess, you do this. JW definitely does this. I'm sure Steph does this, but I haven't actually seen it yet. Where you're editing as things are happening. Like you're editing in your head as things are happening, which seems like such a superpower to be able to be like, oh, I need to capture more. I need to do something slightly different now in the moment because of the thing I'm going to try to do in a week from now or a couple of days from now once all this footage is collected. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, Lucy, from your perspective, if that's a thing that you did before, now start doing. Do you have that superpower yet?
I don't think I have the superpower, but I also have noticed it because we would leave a shoot and staff would be like, okay, well, I've got the story. I'd be like, great, I have 3 pages of scrambled notes. I also realized I forgot to be a producer and I didn't start a timer.
But we're recording, so 17 minutes.
Okay, I guess I should watch that then.
Lucy, you are fired.
This is actually my last day.
Yeah. I've been sitting on that joke and one or two others.
We can't afford the unemployment.
Just kidding. She already resigned.
It's on the record. Yeah, it's a weird, I don't know if you get this with the podcast. Do you do it at all with the podcast? Do you hear the edit in your head while we're talking?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. I think, yeah, I do edit, but mostly I'm making note of, yeah, I try to like pull an essence a little bit so that I know when I'm going back to edit, like what I'm listening to kind of, as opposed to like going in sort of like there have been one or two episodes maybe where I haven't been at the recording. And then the editing process feels very different because I wasn't listening to the original conversation. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily like making edits in the same way, but it's helpful to know kind of where you end up when I'm starting to edit an episode.
Mm-hmm. It's a skill set that reminds me actually of acting a lot in that it's a combination or it's the intersection of a very technical skill and then just letting it all go. I think I've talked about that on the podcast, right? As an actor, you like learn all of these technical skills and methodologies and then it's just about getting up and taking that all with you until the moment you let it go and just let whatever is happening with your craft happen. And I never really thought about it, but when I was doing Jennifer Tipton's interview, right, it's kind of the same skill set. You edit in your head while you're going because you know the technical, you know what's going to have to happen technically to make a great edit. But you can't, you have to listen, like you were saying, Lucy, you have to listen really closely and then just let whatever is happening with that person happen and then keep asking questions in some ways, like, you know what I mean?
So is your edit changing as it goes?
Yeah.
Like you can't be too wedded to that original idea because you're like, oh my God, that thing she just said, it's brilliant. We have to change everything.
Oh, absolutely. At least in the kind of stuff we make. I mean, there's scripted stuff that's just not the case, but because so often in live digital, we're creating like narrative content that is amplifying someone's real true voice and is not scripted. But yeah, that's like totally the key is just to get inspired by whatever brilliant thing that human says and like keep traveling that direction.
Yeah. I also did improv for 4 years. And so did all you? Of this is just, yeah, that was actually my thing in college. I guess I should have said it was like improv, which is so embarrassing. And now it's on a podcast. But
wait, why is that embarrassing?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like college improv is like a stereotype isn't the right word, but you know what I mean? It's like a little bit of a joke.
No way.
I don't know. Well, I guess I just think now of like all the people I knew in college improv that are now like really funny, popular, famous, cool, interesting. And I'm just like, man, they seemed pretty cool. I liked them. Maybe I'm just part of that like lame contingency that you're deriding right now.
No, but I just think about it's that exact idea when you enter a scene in improv because you get a word and you might have like a perfect idea of where you want the scene to go. But if your scene partner comes up and says something, forget it. Don't like, it's such a common thing to watch younger improvisers, to watch them like try to hold on to those ideas really tightly, like want to get that joke in, even if it we're past that and it doesn't fit anymore. Yeah, it's the same thing of just like, okay, no, I have to take what you're saying and let that idea go and maybe someday it'll come back or, you know, whatever. Like, we're going to create what's happening right now. So that feels like a very improv concept.
It totally is, which just made me, I was like, right, why do I hate improv so much? Not that I like improv, I hate doing it.
Really?
But it's like half of what I do as a director.
Yeah, it's all improv. I think about improv all the time because there's like, there's impact on my daily life from learning how to do improv and like my interactions with people every single day. So yeah, I love it. Yeah, I cool. miss doing it.
Okay, I have a question for you. So pretend you're prepping for Clubhouse and the news article, you know, is about this company. Like, company, you know, creates live digital experiences from weekly Clubhouse gatherings to live fundraisers that merge art and activism to entertainment. What has been, where did you start out with when you were thinking about live digital as a What is this? Is it a sector? Is it a vertical? What the fuck is this called?
Universe. Live digital
universe.
Is it an
ecosystem?
I don't know, but I remember when you asked me to pick a news article for the first time, and I remember texting someone being like, what does she mean, theater and technology? Like, theater that includes technology, like technology that is specific to theater. And I know that I talked about VR during that episode, and then I was like, oh, stupid. It's so obvious. No. You know what I mean? Like,
I want to go ridiculous. Like be really nice to old Lisa and be like, no, you're great. You're
no,
not
I wasn't
stupid.
Sad about it. I was just like, I don't think I understood what you meant by theater and technology,
but you did,
in the ways
VR,
that
did I say like bad article? No way.
No, of course not. Yeah. I'm sure we had a good conversation. I don't remember it exactly. Oh,
I guess that's the funny part, is like, you're helping us invent what this is. Yeah. So
that just felt like a very literal interpretation, and I feel like the conversations that we have now are closer to the work that you're doing, in that it's like stuff that doesn't necessarily fit into a box right now, whereas like mm-hmm. VR is something that people understand, and even if they're not using it on a day-to-day basis, like the applications are very straightforward. Mm-hmm. Versus like a cross-platform interactive theater experience about the internet,
about the technology that powers captures,
yeah. Which just feels very far away from that.
Wild. I will just say, I think there's a power to using something like a VR and AR to make it palatable for people who want an entry point but don't yet have it, which like, that's what you represented at that exact moment. You were like, I don't know what this is, I am trying to find my way in, and by doing that, I feel like you made it accessible for other people too. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, that's a nice take on that.
I agree. It reminds me a lot of like something we end up talking about a ton, which is that so frequently companies who approach us to work together like only understand live digital through the production lens. They get it like I need a camera package, you know, and I need to stream it somewhere. And though what we really love doing, we're betting, right, there's going to be lots of companies who can do great live stream production very soon. We just happen to like be a little early on that train because we've been doing it for so long. But what we do that no one else does is that strategy part and like designing that universe that Joe, you just mentioned. But that's hard for people. And that's something Joe talks about all the time. So like, if the production lens is like the same door that you opened by talking about VR or AR, and I feel like every week you put a couple of articles in there that aren't just so heady and, you know, complex. Then...
Well, I can't always find.
You did exactly find a crazy amount of like tech,
I know,
and theater
news.
The
other thing is, I was so worried a few weeks in. I was like, what are we going to talk about every week? We're going to run out. And here we haven't yet.
I'm just seeing like a sampler style roundup of live digital tech theater stuff. Like, this is a Substack waiting to happen, I just realized. Like, all the work that Lucy's been doing every week could have been like, oh, here's a bunch of links. Join us on Clubhouse. Out to the universe.
I mean, we have all of the scripts.
It's true.
So as we're rounding, I know we're getting towards the end of our episode. What are you going to be the most excited for because you never have to see Joe at work again?
What am I most excited to not
Thorns
see?
And roses. Thorns and roses.
Okay.
We like to talk about best and worst on here, right? things are good and bad and hard and easy.
Roses, I feel like I'll hopefully like stay in touch with you guys and all the people that I've worked with, because I like to think that now I like exist in this little universe, so I'll still be around, you know?
Hell yes.
I can't see a thorn.
You can.
It has to be fucking vicious if you're going to do it, though. Like, just burn it down.
I'm just thinking about editing the Chris Ashworth podcast where all of the I accidentally compiled all of the tracks into one file. Oh, no. That was my thorn. And my bud is just everything. I'm just so excited to be, like, in New York and working with people that are doing interesting things. That's just all I've ever wanted. And now I'm here.
You did it. We got to be a little tiny part of that. It was pretty awesome.
You're a big part. Like, I got here because of you guys, you know?
Oh, that makes me feel so good.
Physically, I'm in your office.
That's true. You're physically here right now. I don't think we've said that yet on the show.
Oh, yeah. We probably didn't.
No, I'm in between them. Thank you so much for listening and for being a part of the get-together.
Thanks for joining us today, Lucy.
Thanks for having me.
We can't wait to have you on as a guest, like, once you're, like, 6 months into your CBS Sunday morning job. And we'll ask you all about it.
Yeah, and I'll spill all the dirty CBS drama.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Scandalous.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Joe.
And I'm Lucy.
And we'll see you back here next week. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
That was super fun.
So nervous.
Were you?